Hello and welcome to this edition of DEcast. My name is Rob Bagby. I'm a developer of Angels for Microsoft Corporation. And in this edition, I'm going to be illustrating how to introduce parallelism into your applications using three different approaches. So we'll be talking about the approaches of imperative task parallelism, imperative data parallelism, and declarative data parallelism. Now, all of that probably sounds a bit, too geeky or too technical, so let's talk about each of those approaches very briefly, and then what we'll do is we'll take an application that was written as a classic serial application, and we'll convert it using each of the three methodologies, kind of pointing out some of the pros and cons of each along the way. So the first one is imperative task parallelism. So that's also known as fine-grained parallelism, and by fine-grained, we mean it provides you with the most control, but accordingly, it requires the most work. So some attributes, the semantic is very similar to how threads in the thread pool work today. You express potential parallelism via expressions and statements that take the form of lightweight tasks. So while it gives you fine-grained control, it is a bit more work. So in my opinion, you tend to use it when the other approaches don't suit your problem. And so let's talk about what those other approaches are. The first is imperative data parallelism or structured parallelism. Structured parallelism provides you with a higher level of abstraction. You tend to think of in terms of parallelizing blocks of code. So hopefully you've gotten a chance or will get the chance to see Daniel Moth's 2008 PDC session on introducing parallelism into your managed code applications. He did a great job of explaining structured parallelism this way. He essentially says, think of a block of code. One thread walks into that block, and then within that block of code, many threads can get created to execute the code within. And then one thread exits that block. So to this end, we provide a parallel type that allows you to easily parallelize things like for loops or for each loops or arrays of actions. The third approach is PLINK, or declarative data parallelism. So PLINK is just an implementation of link to objects. Now, hopefully you're familiar with link to objects. It's an implementation that sits on top of iQueryable of T. What we've done with PLINK, what the parallel team has done with PLINK is essentially PLINK operates on iParallel enumerable of T. And so accordingly, they've replaced all of the extension methods like select and where with new extension methods. And those internally use parallelism. So it provides you a declarative means of you're essentially telling what you want done, not how you want it done. And underneath the hood, the parallelism just happens for you. So it's a very high level of abstraction, and in many cases, really only requires you to change your code from classic link code, adding an extension method called asParallel. And we'll see that as these demos kind of move. So let's go ahead and take a look at this program that we're going to parallelize. You can see I've just got a little main method. In the main method, I just create a stopwatch. And then I call a method called create thumbnails. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over a directory of, I've got a bunch of sample pictures. So these are the samples that ship with Windows 7. And I've just created three copies of each. So we have 32 sample pictures. And then in this thumbs directory, I'm going to create a bunch of thumbnails. So let's take a look at our create thumbnails. Create thumbnails, all we do is we go create an array of file names, full file paths to those JPEGs, and I iterate over that, calling create thumbnail for each, and then I write out to the console what the full path as well as its thread ID. The thread ID is really just a little helper that throws out the threads, current threads, managed thread ID. That's pretty simple. Now, the create thumbnail, this code is really unimportant to this demo, other than it's just the GDI plus code that goes through and creates a thumbnail. And by thumbnail, it's just an image that has a maximum of 128 pixels for the height and width. And so we just use some rather expensive resources to go create these thumbnails. And I thought it was just kind of a good example to show parallelizing because it's pretty clear that the GDI plus libraries are processor intensive. So with that, let's run this sample. Let's run it a couple times in its current serial form, and let's kind of write down how long everything takes. So it starts off at 3142, or about 3.1 seconds. Let's run it a couple more times so we get at least a decent sampling. Nothing needs to be, you know, perfect, but let's go ahead and see how long this thing takes. 29:37. Let's run it one more time. This one's 29:37. And then let's see how long the last one took. Let's see. I guess I didn't. I think I closed it by mistake. So let's run it one more time. And there we go. 28:98. So we got three. So, you know, roughly 3 seconds. Somewhere around there. So let's go ahead and do our fine grains now. And this one, as it turns out, is going to be the most complex for us to do. So just bear with me as I start to convert this thing over. Let's start with... this is the code inside of this block that I kind of want to parallelize. And then when everything's done, I want to call console.writeline and write done. So we have a type called a task. So I can just go ahead and create a new task, task T equals new task. And then I can just call lambda here. And then I need to call t.start. So it looks kind of like how it would be if you're working with a thread. In fact, there's actually a nice little helper here. Instead of creating a new task and calling t.start, probably a bit more efficient would be to call task.factory.startNew. And this code's going to work just fine. However, the code itself is not doing what we think it's going to do. Now, take a look at what we're operating on. We're calling create thumbnail on this pick. Well, this pick is outside of the scope of this of this little loop here, and so we're going to run into some issues here. This, for instance, we may this loop may iterate two or three times before this task wakes up and operates on pick. So we may have a couple this bit of code may operate a couple times on the same pick, which is not what we want. So what we really want to do is we need to ensure that the tasks are referring to the right parameters. So we can either create local copies inside of the scope of the loop. So I can do something like this, string local pick equals pick. And then here I can operate on my local pick. That'll work. Or we can essentially get the same thing done by passing the state using the appropriate state object overload, which is what I'm going to do. So let me show you how that works. Let's get rid of this. And so the nice little state object overload here, we can just call thread.factory.startNew and pass in state. There we go. And then here, I'm just going to change this code out. And I'm going to cast my state to a string. Oops, excuse me. And then here, we'll just pass that pick again. And this code right here will work appropriately. So now, this we are going to be operating or creating our thumbnail on the appropriate path every time, and this will actually work, and the end result of our program will be somewhat correct. We've got a couple challenges still here with this approach. The first one is this guy is working on this outer variable, and so we have the same problem here as we had earlier here. And so we need to solve that. The other one is that this console.writeLineDone, we're not waiting till all of these tasks are done. So these tasks are all going to get fired, and we're going to we're going to write console.writeLineDone before we're actually done. So we actually need to put in a wait statement here in order to wait appropriately. So let's take care of the first problem, which is what I want to do is I want to get this inside, I want to essentially take advantage of this state implementation. So I want to get this inside here. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to convert this code a little bit. So I'm going to take this create thumbnail. And so that's going to move from my string state here. And I'm just going to go ahead and get rid of this and get rid of this. I think that's good. And here, now I'm going to essentially pass in my pick there. And that should be good to go. Now I can move this up there. And now this bit of code should all be working appropriately. We still have the challenge where this guy is going to get fired prior to any of these finishing. So we need to essentially add a wait statement. Well, there is a statement. We've got a task has a wait all. which takes in an array of tasks. So let's create our array of tasks. Let's just comment that out. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to say var tasks equals new task array. And then I want this to be the pix.length. And so that should be good. And so I'm kind of good to go there. Now I'm going to replace this for each loop with a for loop, and you'll see why in a second. So let's just do for. Actually, let's just use the for in I equals 0. I is less than pix.length. We're good to go there. And so our for loop is okay. Let's get rid of these. There we go. And so now I'm going to change this out to be task sub I. And this is going to be pix sub I. Now we've got one last thing. I failed to change this over to state as well. So I'm just going to do and we should be good to go there. So now this code should work and I should be able to just call task.waitAll and pass in my tasks. Control-Shift-B, make sure everything compiles. It does. And let's go ahead and run this thing. And let's see any performance increases we've got, improvements. I think I just, there we go. And 2289, so let's put that. Okay, let's run it again. So you can see that, in general, we're getting quite a bit better performance here. I'm taking advantage of turns out my machine has two processors. And so I'm taking advantage of both processors here, 1885. And I've expressed or I've parallelized my application. But that being said, this was actually kind of quite a bit of work for me to do in order to get this done. So let's go ahead and take a look at maybe another approach. Let me convert this back to our original sequential implementation, and let's convert this thing using structured parallelism or just essentially a parallel.foreach. So in order to do that, check this out. Take a look at, I'm just commenting out my foreach block, and I'm doing parallel.foreach. And in my parallel for each, it wants the array or the IEnumerable, And then I'm just going to do pick right there. And then we now need to close this out. Control Shift B. I need to add a right paren. Now the build has succeeded. Now take a look at just how similar this is. Semantically, all we had to do is really replace our for each with a parallel for each. And if we run this up, you can see that we're going to get a very similar performance, 2024, as we got with the fine-grained. So let's do structured, 2024. And let's run this up again. You can see 2049. It's really going to be sitting right in line with imperative task parallelism or the fine-grained. We get a very similar performance increase, 2113. So the numbers themselves, it's not really important. You should just get a general feel that these are all around the same ballpark, and they're quite a bit faster than this approach. Well, let's take a look at one last approach for doing this. Let's do PPP sequential again to get my original sequential, just so we can take a look at it. And then what I want to do is I want to illustrate how you can essentially accomplish the same thing by using link and then plink. So we'll convert a link expression into plink. So I'm just going to comment this out, and let's just write a little link query. So I'll just say var output equals pix.select, and in my pix.select, what I want to do is pick, and then there we go, and then let's just do a create thumbnail. And my create thumbnail is going to take in my pick. And then let's do a return pick plus TID. And then here, I need to close that out. And here we'll just say for each var item Oh, goodness. In output, console.WriteLine. And item. And we should be good to go there. And again, forgot my right paren again there. And we should be good to go. So now let's run this up, F5. And we're just using base link to objects here. So this should be pretty much in line with the original sequential implementation, 2851, which it is. It's kind of along lines here. So it's not a parallel implementation. What I want to do is parallelize this now. So I can just say pix.asParallel. And now, this is just by simply doing that, now we are going to get that taking advantage of both processors on this box. And you can see the first time it was 3065. Let's run it again. That was must have been something else going on in the machine at the same time. So you can see this is 2232. We're going to run it one more time. And you can see 2090. So again, so let's do 2232, right? And then 2090. And that was for my P-Link. So you can see that that these are really in line with the other implementations, the structured and the fine-grained parallelism implementations. It was really kind of very simple for me to move from classic link to objects to P-Link. I just had to add that as parallel statement. Hopefully this introduces how you can introduce parallelism into your application and shows you each of the three approaches. These two afford you a kind of a higher level of abstraction, but in those areas where these won't work for you and you need that fine-grained control, fine-grained parallelism will work for you. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact me. Also, there's a nice write-up on this on my blog at www.robbagby.com. Please go visit it. Thanks a bunch.